A little girl had developed a rather bad habit. She was telling stories all the time. She was lying. She didn't had a hard time telling the truth. And once when she was given for a birthday present a St. Bernard dog, huge dog, beautiful dog, but she got this dog and she told all the neighbors and all of her friends and everybody that would listen that her family had given her a lion. Well, Mom said, honey, you know that's not a lion. And so you said you would stop lying, but now you are lying to people about that being a lion. It's the St. Bernard dog. I want you to go upstairs, and I want you to pray to God, and I want you to ask for God's forgiveness and to ask God to help you not to lie. And the little girl went up into her room, and she came back down, and Mom said, did you pray? And she said, yes, I did. And God told me that he has a hard time telling my dog from a lion, too. Sometimes the truth is hard to tell, as sometimes it's even hard to see. The things of God, how God works in the world, how God touches people, how God moves people, it is an amazing thing, but we cannot begin to understand it. We cannot explain it. I don't know about you, but I've mentioned it before that when I finally get to heaven, I'm going to have a lot of questions. I want to know some things. And children were given the task of writing questions to God. And here's some of the questions that they asked. Maybe these are some of yours. Dear God, is it true that my father won't get to heaven if he uses bowling words at home? Mm-hmm. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it a mistake? Dear God, I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody will tell me. Dear God, I went to a wedding and they kissed right in the church. Is that okay? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I really wanted was a puppy. Now, that's a good one, man. Questions. It's so easy to ask questions, but some of them are so hard to answer. And once in a while, the only answer that we can get is to send them to God and hope that God will give us those answers that we require. And that's what this parable is really about. It's about the big question, the big question. Who gets in? Who gets out? Many of us struggle with that. Jesus was standing before crowds of people trying to explain what the kingdom of God was like. And as he often did, he used these parables in describing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a man who had two sons. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who had 100 sheep and lost one. Or the kingdom of God is like a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. The kingdom of God was like is a phrase used over and over again in these wonderful parables. Understand those parables, Jesus said, and you will understand what the kingdom of God, what heaven will be like. But today, Jesus is prompted to tell a story about the part of the kingdom of God that we understand as judgment. Even in Jesus' time, people were being harshly critical of those who were not religious enough or righteous enough or perfect enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. Something prompted Jesus to say to that crowd, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted wheat. And after a time, weeds began to appear among the wheat, and the slaves offered to go out and pull the weeds, but the farmer said no. At harvest time, when the plants are mature, that's when it's easy to tell the wheat from the weeds, and they will be separated, but not until then. It's such a beautiful, simple story. Jesus told the disciples two things. First, that in the kingdom of heaven, people should not be judging one another. And secondly, in the kingdom of heaven, God's fair and just judgment will come about in the end. Now, you and I live in a world where judgment and criticism are, you know, we're experts at. It's a way of life. A day doesn't pass when we do not make negative comments about something or someone or something that somebody has done. We can criticize people for the way that they dress, for the way that they talk, for the things that they do. Do any of you enjoy the Olympics like I do? Now, I love the Summer Olympics, you know, all that stuff, but I get really, after one race around that track, I'm done. I've seen it. Okay, that's great. Good for the athletes. It's exciting for them. But the Winter Olympics, now that's what I love. Because I love the figure skating, I love the luge. I want to go down on one of those mountains on my back like that. I mean, I know I probably would end up a bloody pulp at the end of the thing, but it'd be so cool to do, wouldn't it? But one of my favorite things, and Deborah and I have watched the Olympics together, is the figure skating. It's so beautiful, isn't it? What they do on that ice. And yet, in the background, I'm listening to commentators talking about what they're doing up there. Oh, she needs to point her toe a little bit more. Oh, she didn't quite do that. Whatever it is, she didn't stretch enough. Pick, 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 pointing out every single tiny detail and everything. Now, in reality, That's the job of the commentator. I get it. To dissect each performance, describe all of the flaws and all that. I get that. But the sad reality is that we dissect people. We do the same thing. We dissect people's lives on a regular basis, and we generally will tell anybody who listens about the flaws that we see in others. And sadly, this is more prevalent in churches than we care to talk about. You know what I mean? People want to know who is in and who is not, who stands close to God and who is lost in the darkness. We want to know who the weeds are and who the wheat are. Or more precisely, we want to make it clear that we are the wheat and they, you know, those people, they are the weeds. And then sadly, you know what happens? The next step in church is to strategically plan what they're going to do with all of those weeds. They can't let them stay here, you know, in the church, or perhaps it's time to weed the garden, pull out the undesirable weeds, pull out the divorced weeds, pull out the alcoholic weeds, pull out the overweight weeds, pull out the un-Presbyterian weeds. If we just can figure out who the weeds are and get rid of them, you know what we would have, right? A perfect church. Problem with that, though, one of my minister friends, he and I were serving in a church in Atlanta, and he put a poster up on his wall, and I loved it. I've never forgotten it. The day I walked in, he was still putting it up there, and it very simply said these words. It said, "I only know two things for certain in this life. First, there is a God, and second, I'm not him." I like that. It's so unfair of us to make judgments about other people and other people's lives. We're not God. We don't know the baggage other people are carrying. We don't know the scars that they carry on their hearts. All we know is what we see on the outside, and according to the gardener in the parable, that's not enough. That's not enough information to start pulling weeds. Could it be that even in the weeds, even in the weediest people we know, could it be that God is sowing wheat? Could it also be true that in time, God will carry out his weeding process in their lives so that good wheat will begin to grow where only weeds are only visible now? I remember there was a little button people used to wear a couple of years ago, and it said PBPGIFWMY, which meant, "Please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet." Did you ever see that? It's true, isn't it? It's so true because, you know, I know that even in our own lives, there are more weeds than we care to admit. Our secret weeds of which we are ashamed and embarrassed. We keep those weeds well hidden. We're good at that, so that nobody will see them. No one will judge us, but we know they are there. And God knows they are there. People, all of life is a process where God, by his amazing grace, is pulling those weeds and making us into wheat once again. And the good news is he never gives up, ever. God would never say, that garden has gone to the weeds and I think we just ought to, you know, it's just too much of a pain to try to do it. Just ignore it. Let it die. I'm so thankful that when I was a royal pain in the neck to my parents, God didn't say, "Weed," and pluck me out. But rather, he gave me time and nurture and surrounded me with people that were full of grace. And that's the point of the parable, that neither should we give up on one another, ever. Loving the sinner and hating the sin means being tolerant of those who are different. Loving the sinner and hating the sin means calling people into accountability for their actions, but always being willing to forgive. It means affirming the good in people instead of always looking for the bad. And thank God it is here in this church, because it is so seldom seen anywhere else in the world. It occurs to me that the kingdom of God here on earth is actually comprised of people who have known this enormous grace of God and known it from experience. That's why we're here. It's people like us who are deeply aware of our sin, equally aware of the God who has chosen to forgive us of those sins. We are people of grace, willing to forgive one another. Christ has called us to be gracious forgivers because he has been graciously forgiving us. And so today, we celebrate a meal together that is God's grace in a very tangible form. And there are no requirements for being here except being here. If you have a, if you are rich or poor, married or single, if you have a prison record, if you're a theist, atheist, Buddhist, believer, non-believer, black, white, gray, green, it is about God preparing a table in the presence of our enemies, in front of all in society who says that we aren't enough. We don't measure up. None of us. It is about God filling our cup of hope so that it runs over. That is the great good news of communion. And throughout the Bible, God's people sometimes looked a lot like weeds. We may forget that until they grow into maturity and somehow blossom into beautiful flowers. Do you remember Moses? He stuttered. He couldn't speak well. He was unsure of his ability to get a clear point across. But with God's help, he flourished. In fact, he became the most well-known spokesperson for God in history. Or consider Saul, who persecuted Christians. He rounded up people who believed in Jesus. Christians feared coming into contact with them, but one day he was blinded by a light on a road, and soon he was the most fervent missionary God has ever had. When God gets a hold of a worthless weed, it can often transform into a beautiful blossom. Do you believe that? I mean, do you believe that for you? You came in here today feeling perhaps like a weed, and you walk out of here transformed by the grace of God into something that is good and whole and healthy. Maybe our communion ought to be done a little differently. Maybe we ought to hold it like a potluck where we invite all of the hungry poor to join us for a rip-roaring party with plenty of wine, lots of music, an afternoon of dancing. By comparison, a somber and morose ceremony of a morsel of bread and a sip of juice somehow doesn't seem appropriate, does it, for the great good news that is ours of God's grace. But we're Presbyterians. At a conference in a Presbyterian church in Omaha, people were given helium-filled balloons. When they came into the church, everyone had a helium-filled balloon. And they were told that when you feel the presence of God, when you feel God moving, when you feel God's grace, release it. Beautiful idea. I've never done it, because what actually happened is at the end of the service, about a third of the people were still clutching onto their balloons. They'd never let it go. They'd never experienced God's presence. Today, let your balloon go. You are loved. Hear what I say. You are loved just as you are. You are celebrated just as you are and for who you are. You are cared for in whatever pain may be yours. It's communicated a lot of different ways. There, was it last week or the week before I mentioned Pepka in Fiddler on the Roof? I love that play. But do you remember the movie Zorba the Greek? Yeah. It was a beautiful, very emotional man Zorba was. And at the point he meets with bitter disappointment and frustration, and how he faces it is with a dance. He begins the dance very slowly, painfully, haltingly. But after a while, the energy and the power of the music and the movement begins to gain momentum. The pace of the music picks up. Zorba is weeping slowly, and it changes to a smile and then to a laugh. And in time, he's completely caught up in the dance. The dance becomes a means of healing and hope. Our God of sorrow is the Lord of the dance. God has invited us to be a great, to enjoy a great feast. But too many of us, well, we're happy with just barely surviving. God has dreamed great dreams for you and invited you to an eternal celebration of those dreams coming true. The key is how we respond to the invitation. So what will it be? Are you ready to party? Are you ready to dance? They cut me down and I leapt on high. I am the life that will never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. going to ask all of you now to celebrate the dance of communion. This table before which I stand is not a Presbyterian table. It does not belong to our denomination or to this church. It has been dedicated to Jesus Christ. And so all people are welcome to receive these elements of communion today, no matter what you have done with your life. In fact, especially because of what you have done with your life, this dance is for you. And so you are all welcome. Now, I will tell you that for those of us who are challenged, these little cups are our nemesis. Some of them have been peeled back. There's actually two tops. One is a little cellophane thing that if you are really good, or if you have a spouse who has good hands, might be able to peel back for you. I can't. But they work, so do your best. We're going to distribute these among the congregation, and then we will celebrate with communion. So now, with enthusiasm, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give thanks, Father, because you were God even before time began. You have seen every sunrise, every day begin, since you first gave form to our home, this earth. You launched it into your universe, shaped its hills, and filled its seas. When space was ready, you brought life out of the waters, and time made us in your image, male and female. Yet we were not content with such a paradise. We rebelled, putting our wills before yours. Even then, we found you boundless in love. Time after time, you reached out your hand to touch our lives with loving kindness. You led us from captivity to life in the land you promised. You made covenant to take us to be your people, to love and to cherish. And we took you as God and ruler, promising to forsake all others. You put your words on the lips of women and men, and they spoke your words of law, gave themselves in the struggle for justice, and taught us to sing your glory. So we join with those who have lived and those now living in faith, from sunrise to sunset, from south to north, with one voice in a song of unending praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Full indeed are heaven and earth of your glory. When time was ready, you, the creator of all that is, sent Christ to be a creature like us. Instead of a servant, you sent your own Son, that he might be a servant of all. Christ alone, who was closest to your heart, he made you known to us. Walking among us, Jesus the Christ performed great signs to reveal his glory. He spoke as one having authority that we might trust your love and obey your law. When his hour had come, he drank the cup of suffering and accepted the baptism of death. Like a lamb, he was led away from the living, but as your son, he was raised from the grave, having triumphed over death. He left our sight that his spirit might fill our hearts, and as we await the completion of all things in him. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread into his hands, and lifting his eyes to heaven, he gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in memory of me." After they had eaten, he took a cup, and into it he poured wine, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for the sins of the whole world. As often as you drink of this, do this in memory of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'll ask the ushers to come forward. When you receive the elements, you can start wrestling with them right away. Thank you.
Send, we pray, your Holy Spirit upon us, gathered here out of our love for you. And on this offering, may your Spirit make real the signs that through breaking bread and drinking wine together, we may know Christ present among us. By the Spirit, make us one with the goodness of Christ, as you made him one with our sinfulness, that we may be one with each other and one in service to all you have created. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, may all your people and all your works glorify and honor you, Father, now and forever. Amen. We turn to God now for some words of prayer. I have a prayer request I'd like to read to you. And feel free during the week, if you call the church, they write this out and they give it to me so that if there's someone that you particularly want to make sure gets mentioned. This is Linda, from Gail. Linda, my brother's significant other was diagnosed with brain cancer after just having a double mastectomy. So prayers for Linda and for her brother. They're having a terrible time. So, Linda. Are there others that you are aware that we can speak out and let us know to keep in prayer? Yes.
My niece's son and his wife have three little boys who all have problems.
Okay, your niece's son has three little boys, all of which have issues that they're dealing with?
Both son and the wife are alcoholics.
And both son and the wife are alcoholics. Okay, certainly keep that in prayer. We keep, of course, all of the folks along the coast in prayer that this will just be an interesting weather event and good reason for us to stay home, Netflix, and chill. And all right, let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, we confess that the winds of the Spirit do not move us much lately. Too often, the busyness of our lives sap our energy and blind us to the wind and the fire that is your presence. Too often we are quick to judge the actions of those around us. Too often we are so hard on ourselves for personal failures and misguided allegiances that we leave very little room for your grace and your love. More and more we discover that contradictions and paradox surround our lives. Like the good seeds and the weeds, we find the good and evil sharing the same fertile soil. We find ourselves abiding in the light and the shadows, even as we ponder the mystery of what it means to lose life in order to gain it. We live the paradox of feeling empty sadness over a loved one no longer with us, while at the same time, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for the wonderful memories that no one can ever take. Teach us to live the contradictions of our lives. In the midst of our noisy, active days, enable us to hear silence and appreciate solitude. Enable us to grow in faith and trust in our personal lives that your Spirit will move us from solitude to action within our community. Help us to understand our weaknesses that we might also recognize and use our strengths to live peacefully with others and to overcome evil with good. In our journey, may we discover the joy of obedience that frees us to rejoice and hope. In our journey, we discover that your Spirit whispers through life tensions and contradictions, moving us from broken people to a fullness and wholeness of life in Jesus Christ. May all of our struggles and pain be transformed through the cross into a joyful response to the many ways you reveal yourself in our lives. And we give you thanks, O God, for your patient and persistent love for us. So hear us now, as we join our voices together in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.